On this episode of Still Loading, don't be a tuna head. Hey guys, it's Josh, and welcome to this new episode of Still Loading. For this week's episode, we are going to talk about an NES classic called Maniac Mansion. Now, I have never played this before, and I've heard many great things, so I did something a little bit different for this one than I normally do. And in terms of format for the episode, I guess it's really not going to change a whole lot, but in terms of how I played the game, it changed still not a whole lot. But what I did try to do was I wanted to actually read the manual on this one, because I know the legacy of Maniac Mansion, and I know what the game is about and like, so I wanted to go in a little bit more prepared. But just in case though, for those who do not know what Maniac Mansion is, it is a point-and-click adventure game that was released by Lucasfilm Games, later known as LucasArts. It was originally a PC game, and they ported it to the NES. And honestly, the port's not bad, but we'll go into that in a little bit. Overall, the premise of the game is that you are playing as a character, well, multiple characters, but the main character is Dave Miller, and you're trying to rescue his girlfriend from an evil scientist. As you progress through the game, you find out that evil scientist, spoilers for a 30-year-old game, but that evil scientist is being, his mind is being controlled by a sentient meteorite that crashed outside of his mansion. And yeah, that's pretty much the concept in terms of story. Now, the gameplay is just a point and click adventure game. It's not 100% freewheeling, not like Zork or something like that, where you actually have to type in the commands. They give you a set of commands that you can use, and it's up to you to figure out how to use them to interact with the world that they give you. And I was very, very impressed by the game. Minor gripe, there's not much to talk about in terms of controls, but I guess the only thing I will say with it is that I really didn't enjoy how slow, like, it's a point-and-click adventure game, but you're using the D-pad. For what it is, it's really well done, but obviously you can tell this was clearly meant for a PC or a computer in general, just anything that actually had a mouse. So, I mean, I guess this, and the mouse for the Super Nintendo obviously wasn't for the NES, so who knows? If any of you guys know of a peripheral for the NES that there was a mouse peripheral for it, let me know, because I have no clue. But in any case, let's talk about the cover. In true Still Loading style, let's talk about the cover. The cover of it just has the title of Maniac Mansion, and it, actually, the art style is really cool on it, so got a bunch of kids, there's a bunch of different characters, and they all have different abilities. They all have different quirks. So one of them, actually, hold on, let me read it from the manual, because I don't, honestly, like I said, I've never played this before, so I'm not 100% familiar with it. So make sure I get it right. Let's read it straight from, where are you at, the manual. Let's see here, we're getting to it. All right. So, Dave is the main character, but you can also have Bernard, who can fix things as long as he has the proper tools, Razor, who has plenty of musical talent, Sid, who is also a musician, Wendy, who aspires to be a novelist, Jeff can fix the telephone. Cool. So, Jeff can fix the telephone, Michael is a photographer and can develop film. I believe there was other people in here. I know there's a surfer dude, but I can't remember his name. But he's not in the manual. Huh. In any case, so this is what the manual says about Maniac Mansion. There are weird people living in Maniac Mansion. Dr. Fred, a retired quote-unquote physician turned mad scientist. Nurse Edna, a former healthcare professional who's as strange as the good doctor. Weird Ed, a teenage commando with a hamster fetish. Wow, they just put it right on Front Street there, didn't they? Anyway, And then there's dead cousin Ted in the tentacle, and somebody or something else. And what's a nice young cheerleader named Sandy doing in Dr. Fred's basement? So yeah, as Dave, you're trying to rescue your girlfriend Sandy from Dr. Fred's basement. And that's, like I said before, that's the premise of the story. You get a cast of different characters, as you heard me say just a little bit before, they all can do different things. I believe there was a surfer, but honestly, if that's what I think it is, it's most likely Jeff is the dude who can fix the phone. Yeah, Jeff. He's probably the surfer. He's the one that can fix the phone. In any case, the game's a point-and-click adventure, and you just basically wander around the mansion trying to figure things out. I only play these about 20-30 minutes at a time, and this is something I would come back to play. It's not something where you can really... It's not like Mega Man or Mario where you can play for 10 minutes and get the whole idea of like what the game has to offer, you know? This is a very... It's not long, but it's a very complicated story. Not story, sorry. It's a very complicated game because there's a lot of different secrets and things you can do. For example, I did watch a playthrough of it. And spoilers, just in case, for those who haven't played the game. But I did watch a playthrough of it, and like some of the techniques or some of the things that you have to do are very, I mean, I don't know if I would have figured it out right away. So for example, there is a key that you have to get on top of a chandelier. To get to that, you have to break the chandelier, but you can't reach it. So what you have to do is you have to explore the house, right? You'll be exploring the house. What you want to do is you want to find a cassette tape, a blank cassette tape. And you also want to find a record of tentacle mating sounds. That's exactly what it is. And so you will then get the cassette tape, get the record, go to a room in the mansion where there is a recorder as well as basically a record player. I forget what their exact term for it. It was like a viral phone? No, I can't remember what the exact name for it was. In any case, it's an older version of a record player. So, in any case, so you'll take that, you'll play it on the record player, you'll record it, and then you take that cassette tape, bring it down to the room where that key is on top of the glass chandelier. There's a cassette tape player in that room. So you play it, and since it's so high-pitched, it shatters the glass, and you're able to get the key that has fallen on the floor. That is a lot of fucking steps just to get a key from a chandelier. When, I don't know, just grab a broom and just knock it off, you know, something like that. I don't know. It would have been a whole lot easier than having to get mating sounds of a freaking tentacle, which that is some strange hentai I never want to know about. So, and that's kind of like what the game is like. It's very cryptic. It's very much meant for you to spend your time and wander through this house and figure it out. It's not meant for you just to be... The joy in the game is figuring out the puzzle, and I guess that's true for any game, but this one, it's very much that, because you don't have to rely on, you know, like Mega Man and Mario, yeah, there's puzzle elements in it at certain levels, but for the most part, it's the enjoyment of that comes from the skill in terms of the platforming. With this, there is no platforming, it's point and click, so you have to really enjoy being able to, you know, take your time, immerse yourself in this world, and the other cool thing about this game, it's one of the earliest games to have cutscenes. Now, I believe the original PC version of it also had cutscenes, and according to Wikipedia, I know not very professional, but according to Wikipedia, Ron Gilbert, one of the guys who designed the game, coined the term cutscenes. That's kind of, I mean, I don't know how true that is or not. It doesn't sound like it's something that someone would make up, but you never know. Do research on that if you really feel like it. So it's one of the first games that actually has cutscenes. I mean, a lot of people cite Ninja Gaiden as one of the original ones on consoles, and I don't know which one came first, but what is really cool is the fact that you can be playing in a cutscene will interrupt you, and you kind of get an idea of where the story is, and it kind of it progresses the story. And what I liked the most about the cutscenes is that it gave you a real sense of world building. Because you could be doing something, and a cutscene would happen, and then you would wait a little bit, and you would see a character, like the Doctor or Edna or whomever, travel somewhere, and then a couple minutes later, they continue traveling, or they travel back. And I really liked that dynamic. I really liked the fact that it was... it made you feel like there's more than just you in this mansion. Like, it's not just a bunch of enemies waiting for you to appear. It's very... like, they have their own agendas. They move without you having to interact with them. They do things without having you... without the need, excuse me, of you interacting with them. And I always liked that in games. Majora's Mask did that a lot, too, and that's one of my favorite things about that game, the fact that it feels like the world is actually alive and you're not the one driving everything in it. So it makes you have to react or interact with things in a different way. So you can switch out your characters as the game goes on, because, like, as we read before, they each have different abilities. So you can pick, it's Dave and then two other people, and you can pick your cast of kids to explore this mansion and rescue Sandy. So the pretty much the end of the game, I mean, once again, as I said it before, spoilers, but pretty much the end of the game is just you take the meteorite and you launch it back into space. The Doctor says thank you, and he says, how can I repay you when you ask for money? And he says, F you, pretty much. So there's not much, the storyline is meant to be more fun than it is meant to be, like, mysterious, but the characters are all very strong from what I gather. They all have different personalities, and that's very uncommon for old NES games. You usually don't see characters with personalities, and maybe that's because this was originally a PC title, but still, you don't really see that. And this kind of helped launch LucasArts into, you know, their famous point-and-click adventures with, you know, the Monkey Island games, and then Day of the Tentacle, and tons and tons of other, like, very popular PC games that they made. And this was, you know, early on for them. It was one of their first hits. So it's cool to see their rendition of it on the NES. And I guess to kind of, the last thing I want to touch on for this is I really enjoyed the soundtrack for this game. I know I say that about a lot of games, but this one, I don't know, I wasn't expecting much out of it because it's a point-and-click adventure, but at the same time, by that same merit, if you have a point-and-click adventure, the majority, it better have a freaking good soundtrack, because you don't have anything to distract you from it, really. Yeah, you could have puzzles, but a lot of it's just going to be exploring the house or exploring whatever that game may be. So they did a really good job with the soundtrack. I do not know if it was an NES version of the original PC music, or if it was all original music for the NES version. I did not research that, but that would be something interesting to look into. That's something I actually probably will look into once I finish recording this thing. So in any case, the music was really good, and all the characters had different themes. The Doctor's theme was interesting. I don't know, it was very fun. Kind of action-y at times too, but it was overall just a very fun style of music. Who knows, I'll see if I can find some samples of it and put it in, but we'll see. So, in any case, thank you all for listening. That pretty much wraps up what I wanted to talk about with Maniac Mansion. And in all honesty, I want to do a better episode on this, because this game, seriously, it deserves more than just this little, you know, 10-15 minute episode that I'm able to kind of spew off on my own. And while I'm actually starting to enjoy doing these solo episodes more, I do want them to be longer. I just don't know if I can I don't know if I can if I'm interesting enough to fill enough content for an hour and just keep on talking. Like, I don't know what I would say for a full hour on one game. I could maybe talk about a series of games, you know, that would be easier. But it's definitely a lot easier with a guest. And as you heard last week with Josh on the Spider-Man episode, for me, it's more fun with a guest. And I actually really... I'll probably have Josh back on. He was really fun to talk to with on the Spider-Man game, so I'll probably have him back to do some other episodes. In any case, thank you all once again for listening. It really means a lot. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. And I actually just got added to this website, Podknife, which was super awesome. It's just a podcast review website, so feel free to stop over there and maybe drop me a review or something. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at StillLearningPod. I always forget half of the things I'm supposed to say at these episodes. And I guess to end this all off before the, the closing, just a couple shout-outs. I want to shout-out Two Guys in a Game. They have been giving me shout-outs every week on their show, and I can't thank them enough. They're both awesome guys. And also The Hotter Show, who, one of the hosts from Two Guys in a Game is the host of The Hotter Show, TJ Hotter, or Hotter. And he's awesome. I talk to him all the time on Twitter. Really good dude. His podcasts are fun to listen to. Definitely, especially if you like indie music, go listen to The Hotter Show, because he interviews a lot of local bands in his area, and they're always really interesting. And also want to shout out the crew from Drinks with Larry. I've listened to their first episode finally. I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to their next one. And they've been super kind by Follow Fridays and like shouting me out on Twitter all the time. So that's awesome. I feel like I'm forgetting someone else who recently shouted me out, but in any case, you know who you are. So thank you very much. And I think that wraps it all up, guys. So give them all a listen. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at StillLearningPod. Covered all that. Did it again just to wrap it up. And I will see you all next time.